Now it's time for Backyard Archaeology, and this month Tom has been getting some practice in for the annual Aberdeen Beer Hunt.
Well, today I've turned up in the middle of a field, a park rather. It's sunny, it's windy, and I'm meeting up with my friend Mike Bumstead. Mike, why are we here in this field today, and why are there some long darts on the ground?
Well, we're going to learn about spear throwers today.
Ah, spear throwers, I see. Okay, so can you just describe what you've got in your hand for us, please? Okay,
well, I have two pieces of the technology that we refer to as spear throwers. One which is Native American, Central Native American in design, and it's an atl, something you would pronounce it differently in this part of the world.
Okay, wait, so let's just take a step back. We've got a spear thrower, and then you use this word atlatl.
Yes.
So there's different names for this thing.
Yeah, there are. Basically, what it is a long stick with a hook on the end.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's grooved, sometimes it's not, with a counterbalance, which you use to throw darts, what we call spears, long, sharp objects at things.
Okay. So we call it the spear thrower. This other one you have in your left hand is the Inuit version, isn't it, from
yes.
the Northern Circumpolar regions. So some people might call that a throwing board. What's the Australian one?
The Australian one is called a Woomera. Now, unlike these ones that I have here, which are single-purpose objects, which have sort of a bone hook at the end, the Woomera is a longer, narrow, curved board, and it was a bit more multi-purpose. It had some of the existing examples have stone sharp edges placed on one side, and some of them, in fact, as I understand, were used as shields. Some of them were of this size, and so they more than just a single-use spear thrower.
Okay, so some spear throwers are multi-purpose. That's quite fascinating. The ones Mike are holding are quite different. The Native American one he's holding, which is a replica, has a stone weight about a third of the way down near the handle. And there's the bone point he's talking about. It's just a bit longer than my forearm, and I believe they should be about that size for an individual. I mean, how do you use them, Mike? Can you just show me, and I'll maybe describe to our listeners what you're doing? He's holding these 3.5-4 foot long darts. These are aluminium competition darts. You can use lights offwards, and there is a flight on the end, so it looks like a long arrow. I see. Can you just describe what you're doing, Mike?
All right, the darts have a nock in the back, so you place that upon the hook, this bone part at the end that we've been describing, we refer to as the hook. And then you hold the dart along the length of the board yeah. with the handle in your hand, and you hold the dart in the same hand as you hold the handle, sort of like a pen.
Okay, yeah, so at the moment Mike has got the spear thrower in his hand. He's holding it a little bit like a tennis racket or a badminton racket, and at the same time, on top of the spear thrower, he has the dart lodged into the nock, and he's balancing it on his thumb and first two fingers, a bit like a pen, yeah. So you're holding that now. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to aim at the target that's been provided today, which is the box for a DeLonghi brand convection heater.
The rare mammalian species that has decided to grace us with its presence. Now, Mike, I'm just standing back for safety reasons. And, well, that's a long way, Mike. That's a long way. You've missed the target quite a bit.
Well, the target that we've had set up, which is set up for a practical class that we teach at the University of Aberdeen, is probably about 40 yards away from our position. And, of course, these kinds of technologies, these spear throwers, are not really designed for close-range hunting. So that being said, I'm also not very good with them, so I'm probably not going to hit your DeLonghi anyway.
Okay, well, second try. That's much closer, but that's great. So, I mean, that's a good 60 metres that's travelled. And how far can these things go, do you think?
Ancient technologies, I mean, we're using aluminium competition darts. So these actually flow quite far. I mean, you can throw them probably anciently 250, 300 metres.
Yeah.
The longest throws in the modern era are probably two times as long.
Yeah. Okay, that's quite a long distance. Now, with atlatl, one thing we have to mention is that this technology, compared to just throwing a spear with your hands, allows you to throw the dart much, much further. I mean, the dart and the spear, we must make a distinction here, mustn't we? They're different things, aren't they? Because this isn't... When I thought we were doing spear throwing today, this isn't a spear, Mike. This is a 3.5-4 foot long aluminium pole.
Yeah, I mean, these modern ones that we're using are... They're exactly as you've described them. They're really, really big arrows.
Yeah.
With this technology, when we say spear throwing, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about javelins or a prodding stick with a stone tip on it, right?
That's the more traditional idea, and I think spear, I think 6 foot long staff, massive iron point on it. But we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about launching big arrows, basically.
Yeah, even that being said, those, what we think of as stereotypical spears, there was an evolution in how to throw those as well. Ancient Greeks used a leather strap that was tied around the base, and what you would do is, as you released it, it would serve the same purpose as these spear throws that we're using, but it would also cause it to rifle. If you think about how a bullet works as it comes out of a modern firearm, the grooves are on the inside of the barrel to allow it to fly more stably and straighter. Yeah. Those kinds of leather strappings that were used at that point would serve the same effect. It helped to stabilize and straighten the flight of what you would say a more stereotypical spear would fly as.
So let's just have a... I might have a go in a minute, actually, Mike, if you wouldn't mind. I think I could give this a whirl. If you just hold that. Okay.
All right, you've got it set up. You've got it lined up.
Okay. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill the cardboard box.
All right, do it.
That was pretty bad. Okay, I'll just say for our listeners, it's not as easy as it looks, as Mike has demonstrated. I think I might have another go. So, despite my three attempts at throwing a spear with a spear thrower, I think we've concluded, Mike, that I'm not your natural hunter. But it's not always about hunting, is it? These were offensive weapons that were used. You were mentioning to me earlier about Montezuma.
Yes, the Aztecs were very well known for using these spear throwers. The Aztecs, in fact, when the conquistadors arrived in Spain, terrified them with the potential havoc that could be wreaked upon the Spanish with these weapons from a range that was well beyond the accuracy of their rifles. And it's really not until Cortez convinces them that he's their god and they let him in that trouble occurs for that particular civilization.
Locals beware. Thanks. That was Tom Birch and Mike Bumstead, postgraduate researcher at the University of Aberdeen. If you want to get in touch with any questions or comments, then please do. The address is archaeology@thenakedscientists.com. You've been listening to Diana O'Carroll, Tom Birch and Duncan Howitt-Marshall this month. And you can find more episodes just like this one at thenakedscientists.com/archaeology or on iTunes.
Coming to a trench near you, Naked Archaeology.